and welcome to the Virtue Podcast. My name is Terry Green. My husband Brad and I lead the First Responders Co-Ed Bible Study at Harvest Orange County, and I'm the volunteer coordinator for Harvest Abilities, classrooms and buddy system for students with developmental differences. And it's a real privilege for me to be here with you today. So I have a couple of questions for you. Are you a mother like me? A mother or parent of a child who was born differently from how you had expected on your baby's first day? Are you a friend, a sister, a grandmother, or a caring person who desires to feel prepared to comfort a parent with an ongoing responsibility to their child beyond the typical young adult years? Then please stay with me to find out that we mothers and fathers of our differently made child have some hopes, same dreams, and the same expectations as every woman who delivers or adopts a healthy baby. Before I tell you a small portion of my story, I'd like for you to imagine that you can't speak at all. Suppose that the silence in this room right now is not voluntary, but a fact of life for you. How different will your life be today? Would you feel the need to stay to yourself? Would you have less confidence to reach out to others who need you? Or would you go about your business the way you already do and listen? Just listen to the one who is hurting without trying to fix their pain, because actually, you can't fix it anyway. Well, I know such a person who can't speak at all. She is my daily confidant. She remains still when I tell her my woes. She puts her arm around me when I'm feeling sad, and she tries to make me smile in a moment of silence. I was 20 years old when my husband and I married. Brad had just graduated on a full football scholarship from the University of Southern California. He played on the national championship football team during his college career, and I had been a song leader, so we had a lot in common and a promise for an exciting life ahead. On the 21st of June, we celebrated 44 years of being an item and 41 years of marriage. Only God knows how we managed to keep our vows and rally to stay together for the rough turns that left us feeling vulnerable, powerless, and overwhelmed. We were married for 4 years before we had our first baby. Kara was born 2 months premature. Her pediatrician was not terribly concerned about her health, but every day after her birth, she declined until she was 10 days old, and she went into congestive heart failure. She was ambulanced to San Diego Children's Hospital from Mission Hospital in Mission Viejo. She took her last breath as the driver pulled into the parking lot. They were able to revive her in time to prepare her for immediate heart surgery. She survived her 2 month stay in San Diego enough to exit the hospital with a strong set of suggestions from the neonatologist, the last of which, he told me, was that we should highly consider placing Kara in an institution. He said that Kara's heart condition was so severe, she would not live past 5 years old. He continued to say that her hearing test indicated that she would eventually be deaf, and her brain scan showed that she would live in a vegetative state all of her life. All of this news was given to me alone in a one-hour conversation, close to midnight in the neonatal intensive care unit, the night before Brad and I were to take her home with us. When Kara was 5 months old, she had her first set of ear tubes placed, and at 6 months, Kara's eyes were not focusing on anything specific. I took her to 4 different eye specialists with the final prognosis that Kara would eventually be blind. Brad and I were discouraged, to say the least. Every month we were being told more crushing news, and eventually I was completely depleted, exhausted, and I wanted to take my life. Over a 3-day span, I planned my exit from this world. After realizing the impact I would leave on our family, I finally confessed to Brad how desperate I was feeling. Before I finished explaining my plans to take myself out of the picture, Brad said that I should get some Christian counseling, and so I did. I realized that while the doctors were revealing more and more of what Kara's life expectancy and prognosis were, I was falling deeper and deeper into a dark depression. I was relying on my own strength, not God's strength, to get me through this disheartening time. I couldn't see any light at the end of the tunnel, and the tunnel seemed so incredibly long. It took me several months to come to the conclusion that our world had not ended because we had a developmentally and medically fragile child. Years into parenthood, Kara's doctors, our family, and our friends started encouraging us to grow our family. The medical staff and therapists said that having normalcy would be good for us and good for Kara. The geneticists assured us that none of Kara's conditions were genetic and that there was a billion to one chance that we would have another child with similar issues. So we planned our second daughter, Taylor, and she was born 5 years later. Taylor was beautifully plump and born right on time. Her collarbone was broken for trauma coming down the birth canal, but all else seemed to be fine and healthy. During the first few hours in the hospital with Taylor, she seemed pokey. She didn't want any milk from me or even water from the nurses in the nursery, and the staff's concern was discouraging. Our pediatrician okayed us to take Taylor home on her second day with a promise that I would call him the following morning to tell him of her progress, and so I did. Taylor ended up in the emergency room on her third day in Orange at Chalk Hospital. She was immediately intubated while the surgeon and her staff prepared Taylor for surgery to remove a blockage from Taylor's lower intestine. On Taylor's fifth day, another surgery was needed when she was not recovering from the first. The second surgery lasted over 5 hours. Finally, the surgeon explained to us that Taylor had what's called malrotation of the intestines. That meant that her intestines never tacked down within the cavity of her body when she was born, so her intestines floated free, which caused them to twist in several places, cutting the blood flow to half of her small and large bowel. These intestinal areas had died in utero. On her seventh day in the pediatric intensive care unit, the surgeon and the nurses determined that Taylor was not recovering from this high-risk bowel surgery, and she was failing fast. Before they were to take Taylor off of the oxygen and monitors, they asked to hand her to me so that she could die in my arms. A visiting pastor from our church stood to his feet and said, "Let's pray." Many of us prayed. I was the last. In my prayer, I simply said, "Dear God, your will be done." I had nothing more to say. No pleas, no begging for healing, just a defeated mother who had nothing left but to surrender. I believe that this was where God wanted me, on my figurative knees, no thought of anything else but a complete release of my will, but for His will. Maybe it was a complete denial on my part, but I wasn't convinced that Taylor was truly dying. Brad approached the surgeon and nurses to ask to allow Taylor to remain on life support just one more night. They granted his plea, and Taylor rallied over a 3-day period. She remained hospitalized until she was 6 months old to endure another 3 surgeries to put her back together again. The doctors admitted that there was nothing they did to save Taylor, but that she was in God's hands. Taylor's probable diagnosis at the time was cystic fibrosis. We had not tied my tubes yet for the tumultuous life that we had once Taylor came home. We had 2 tiny girls with feeding tubes and 16-hour nursing care. We were using most birth control methods when, to our traumatic surprise, 13 months later, we discovered that I was pregnant again, and we were terrified. With this pregnancy, I had medical issues. I was bedridden for several months for placenta abruptia. Eventually, I was diagnosed with placenta previa, so Paige's birth was a planned C-section. Paige was tested immediately. After being home for a day, our girl's pediatrician called us and said that there was a misdistribution of air found in Paige's intestine. Paige needed to be x-rayed right away to confirm their concerns that she may have Taylor's non-genetic medical diagnosis. While Brad cared for the others, I drove Paige to St. Joseph's Hospital and handed her to the assisting technicians for testing. Afterward, I was walking down the long, cold corridor out of the hospital when I heard a man call my name, "Mrs. Green." I turned around, thinking I dropped a shoe, and he said, "I am Dr. Smith. You probably don't know me." But yes, I knew of this radiologist. I could wallpaper a small room with his invoices. But he went on to say, "I know your other 2 girls, and I want you to know that this one is fine." To this day, I believe that that doctor was an angel sent by God to comfort a bewildered mother on her way home to await the next set of instructions from the pediatrician. But to our joyful surprise, there was nothing to be concerned about. Paige was and is perfectly healthy, and she is the smartest one of us all. Today, Paige is 30 years old. She graduated at 19 with a physics degree from USC, her daddy's alma mater. She served in the Peace Corps in Kenya and has earned a master's degree in forensic science. She will be married for 9 years in February to the man who taught her the Indonesian language at the university she taught physics in Sumatra, Indonesia. She and David have given us our first two grandchildren. They are so beautiful and oh so sweet. Today, Taylor is 32. She's a beautiful young woman who graduated with a theater arts degree on the same day and on the same campus as her sister. She has a beautiful voice, and she teaches dance to couples who want to dazzle their guests on their wedding day. Taylor did not have cystic fibrosis, but she was left with a diagnosis she will contend with always. She leads a normal life, but it is the scars that are a constant reminder of her terrible beginning and the gratefulness for the miracle of God that kept her alive. Today, Kara is 37 years old. And yes, she is the woman I know who has no speech. I have a close relationship with all of my girls, but it is true, Kara is my daily confidant. She uses a wheelchair to get around. All of her self-help skills need assistance. She has had over 30 operations and procedures, but she has outlived all prognosis. She is not deaf, and she is not blind. She is hilariously funny, and she loves life. I'm so very blessed, and I thank God that I didn't take my life when I was so desperately low. Today, Brad is retired associate pastor from Harvest Orange County and a retired policeman before that. He has written a daily devotional to equip first responders with the knowledge of the God of love, the one who cares, the Jesus of the Bible, who comforts and gives strength to those who cover the first moments of crisis. This book is called Badge to Badge. Thank you, friends, sisters, grandmothers, and caring others for all that you do for someone who hurts for no fault of their own. You save a life with God's direction when you help someone else in His name. You save a heart from breaking when you listen to the cry of someone in hardship. You make this world a better place for paying it forward because somehow you were touched by someone else's kind deed. Hold your friend's hand and let them know that you are with them for the long haul. Most of all, pray with them. Remember that God is with you when two or more are gathered in His name. And to you, mothers like me, who dip into a dark sorrow for feeling ill-equipped because your heart was not prepared for this journey with your child, you are not given specific instructions on how to heal for grieving loss of an unexpected healthy child, the way most of the world, especially the world around you, who experience what you prayed for. Please don't let any more time go by without asking Jesus for the strength you need, praying to God for the wisdom to carry on in a healthy way yourself so that you can lead your child in the best way possible. All moms can only count on one day at a time. To worry ahead is to borrow that time that is not ours to borrow. If you don't know Jesus in a personal way and you are ready and want to invite Him to be in your life today, please concentrate on the following words. If you're not driving, close your eyes wherever you are so you can close out the world for this life-changing moment. Then recite these words and pray this prayer from your heart. Dear Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sin. I repent of it and turn to you by faith right now. I thank you for dying on the cross for me and for paying the price for all of my sins. I ask you to come into my life right now and to be my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to stand for you from this moment forward. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was for you, and He will save your life now that you're willing and ready to believe it. And these words are written specifically for you from the Bible in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light." Friends and family members, selfless men and women, do you think the way Christ commanded you to act? Do you see a need and do all that you can to fill it? You know that your purpose on this life is to encourage others, comfort those who are in need of comforting, and sometimes without a word said, you further God's kingdom for just acknowledging another's pain. A hug from you, a hand held out for another, lending your shoulder to allow a crying heart to spill their tears on, says 1,000 words, all wrapped up in a simple gesture. I care about you, and I'm here in any way that I can to help you get through this hard time. That's why it is a privilege for me to be here with you today. I feel a collective hug from all of you. I am a representative of those you've comforted, cared for, prayed for, brought a meal to, and lent a listening ear for. It's because of people like you who helped me believe in God's promise that I too can have a hope and that God has a future planned out for even me. God bless you today and every day.